A community connection on the way on 1400 K1, brought to you this morning by Tallgrass Motors and by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We'll talk with candidate for District Judge Linda Thomas coming up in just a moment.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
And the primary election coming up on June 26th, so if I were to round it off just a little bit, roughly 2 weeks until Election Day, and I get the opportunity to spend a little bit of time talking with candidate for District Judge Linda Thomas. Thank you very much for coming in.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you today?
It's a wonderful day. Sunshine and, okay, I would personally like it about 5 to 7 degrees cooler, but I'm not in charge of the weather. Other than that, it's great. I understand you had a busy weekend. Just as a personal note, you had a great wedding over the weekend.
We did. My son got married over the weekend, so I took a bit of a break from the campaign trail and enjoyed his wedding with his beautiful bride and our new daughter-in-law that we're just so excited to have in our family. So we had a good time. It was out in North Carolina, so we got to spend some good time with good weather out there as well.
Well, I hope you're not too jet-lagged. We'll talk a little bit about the campaign this morning. Again, roughly 2 weeks until the election. And I want to remind the voters that the judge's race is a nonpartisan election. While each of you probably have filed as a party of choice in this race, it doesn't matter. Thank you very much for coming in.
Correct. Thank
Anything else we need to add to that?
Well, we've just had a great last few weeks on the campaign trail. We just spent a few weeks ago, we were in Nowata County at their Pioneer Days. It was a fun time. It was hot, but it was a really, really fun time. Got to meet lots of good people over in Nowata. Of course, Sunfest was in Bartlesville this past weekend, or weekend before last, actually, and we met just tons of people and had a great time there as well. Yeah, Sunfest is always a good time. And then also actually a week ago today, we had in Dewey, Gary Dill, Grand Master of Martial Arts, and his assistant, Michael Aldridge, taught a room full of women at the Heritage Theater basic self-defense skills, and it was a great time. We learned a lot, and I got to meet some great people in Dewey as well.
And I'm sure just knowing the individual and what he does, taught both a little bit of situational awareness and then also some actual physical moves to get yourself out of a situation.
Absolutely. We had he did a fantastic job. You're right. He did the situational awareness, and then he had some props and some other things that we used, and it was very important, a very important skill that he taught us. And so actually we talked about maybe doing another one before too long and in the fall, and so kind of got that on the horizon out there.
Looking at your biography on your website just a little bit, while you are an attorney and we look at all the things that that a candidate for a judge should be, I didn't realize you come out of a career of education first.
I did. I was a school teacher public school teacher for 20 years before I became a lawyer. My last 7 years were here in Bartlesville at Kane Elementary. Was going to law school at night, teaching school during the day, and graduated from law school at the University of Tulsa in 1994, and have been practicing, have a private practice here in Bartlesville since 1994.
And so that's you kind of look at it, that life, from a couple of different perspectives. And I think as a judge, personal opinion, you may or may not comment on it, it's easy to, I think that a judge should be able to put themselves a little bit in an empathic situation with the parties involved.
Well, Charlie, I've dealt with families and children and different family experiences throughout my entire adult career, whether it be teaching school or in my private practice here. I have literally represented hundreds and hundreds of individual clients that walk through my door almost on a daily basis that are in a life-changing event and oftentimes devastating. So I feel like I've got a thumb on the community and know what's happening in our community.
And I think that can be important when you're sitting in a family court type situation then.
Well, and I think it's important in just about every type of court situation, whether it be family law or other, even criminal, probate. You've got just a variety of things. Even a civil case can affect families and sometimes be devastating. So it's important to understand when people come into the office with, like I said, these life-changing events, that you listen to them and you understand them, and then you make decisions based on everything that you've heard.
And it's a sum total of the evidence that's presented then.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I know you've represented clients in all those situations, criminal law, family law. As an attorney, you have probably already lived in every type of situation, I would assume.
Well, I think what makes me a unique candidate in this particular situation is that the incumbent, by his own words, went directly from law school to the district attorney's office, where he was a prosecutor, and then directly to the bench. So he's never had any experience of dealing one-on-one with the client that comes in a crisis. And then the other candidate, Mr. Gentis, I don't know, he's done lots and lots of cases, I understand that, but in this community, in the last 20 years, and I've gotten this information off of Oklahoma District Court records, they go back about 20 years, it shows that he's had three cases in NOWATA, and those cases were all the same client, and it looks like they were all consolidated into one case at one time, and he's had six cases in Washington County, five civil cases and one domestic case. On the other hand, I have literally represented hundreds and hundreds of clients. I've done criminal, I've done civil, I've done victim protective orders where I've represented both the defendant and the plaintiff as well, small claims, family and domestic, paternity, also done writs of habeas corpus. And Charlie, that doesn't even include all those cases that are not of public record, like adoptions and guardianships and juvenile deprived cases, abuse and neglect type cases, juvenile delinquent cases, which also mirror some criminal cases as well. Those are juveniles committing adult type crimes, mental health cases, adult protective services cases. I've been appointed in numerous cases to be guardian ad litem for children in cases where the court has to look at what is going on specifically with children. And the parenting coordinator in lots of divorce cases where parents are having difficulty. And then I've done lots of wills and trusts that never even get to the court. To the courthouse.
And again, so, for the public, those court cases that are public record, it's a website that I consult frequently, odcr.com. Those are all cases of public record, and you can look at the attorney of record on all those cases if you choose to.
That's correct.
And so it's something that is out there as part of the public record. And again, it is a three-way race, and you're out there differentiating yourself between the other two names on the ballot.
Correct.
When you are talking with folks, when you're knocking on doors, meeting people at home, there's a little bit of, explaining the role of a district judge that you go through when you're talking mm-hmm. with somebody at their home.
Yeah, the district judge is the chief administrative judge in this district, which is, of course, NOWATA and Washington counties. And so there's some administrative duties. But for the most part, the district judge sits on the bench, or should sit on the bench, listen to what the issues, all the facts that come before him or her, and then depending on whether we're talking about a bench trial or a jury trial, a bench trial is that's tried just in front of the judge, so ultimately the judge would make the decision after listening to everything. A jury trial, on the flip side, the judge is basically there to manage the case as it moves forward, make rulings and decisions regarding the evidence, and then the juror is the ultimate decision maker in a jury case. The jury is an ultimate decision maker in a jury trial.
Yeah, my words, not yours, probably. More of a traffic cop than actual decision maker in many respects.
There's lots of stuff going on in a jury trial that a judge has to make rulings on, but mostly it's evidentiary rulings, and I know the evidence code as well.
Okay. We're talking with candidate for District Judge Linda Thomas, and we will continue on 1400 K1 coming up in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
Again, talking with candidate for District Judge Linda Thomas. And Linda, back many moons ago when I was a college student studying argumentation and debate, the role of the positive side of the case is to advocate for change. There is a reason they want to make a change, and it's their duty to set up the case why, you know, to move away from the status quo. That's also an argument that you're making on all of your, on your campaign ads. Change, why change, change now. Can you explain your case to me, please?
Sure, Charlie. As I've gone around the community and talked with just numerous people, that's oftentimes been the question. Why change? Why do we need change now, and why you, Linda? And so the answer that I have to that is that when a judge does not display fundamental fairness and respect for others in the courtroom, for all of those that appear before him or her, and is either unable or unwilling to control his or her temperament, then nothing else matters. We must look to the judge as the one person in the courtroom that controls the temperament of the courtroom, and by doing that, I believe that if a judge controls his or her own temperament, that's an example for the rest of the courtroom and the people that are there. So I believe that change, it's time for change now, because there is a basic need in our community and in our courtroom for fundamental fairness across the board for every person that appears in the courtroom, and also a basic display of respect for everyone, and that whether that be court staff, other court officials, jurors, litigants that come before the court, attorneys that come before the court. There is a lack in my experience, and in others' experience that have talked to me about it, a lack of fundamental basic respect and fundamental basic fairness from our district court at this time.
Last time you and I talked, I believe you gave an example of what you're talking about in a case that was referred to the state Supreme Court.
Yes. Charlie, in a recent case, a young woman in Washington County was sentenced to jail for 6 months. This is really concerning to me because of the facts behind this case. In that particular case, and in many others, it is not the behavior of the defendant that is the focus. There is a mechanism, and there is a process where people who are disruptive in the courtroom can be punished, whether that be it's a variety of ways, but ultimately could go to jail for their behavior or even inappropriate behavior in the courtroom. But there is a process by which that can happen, and it must be followed every single time. I do not want my doctor to skip any steps in diagnosing my, say, medical condition, or I wouldn't want my doctor to make a diagnosis without looking at all those steps. So I certainly don't want my judge to do that either. I want a judge who's going to listen to all the facts, give the person an opportunity to be heard. But in that particular case that you referred to, this young woman was held in direct contempt of court and put in jail for 6 months without following all of those due process steps. Now, I'm not telling you that, excuse me, that she didn't, that her behavior was appropriate. It certainly was not. And I'm also not telling you that her, that she didn't deserve some type of punishment from that. But my biggest concern is when she was found in contempt of court, that was done in chambers with just the judge and just a deputy present. And that's concerning to me as well. So there's lots of stuff going on in that particular case. I think you and I could probably talk about it for 30 minutes, and I've rambled on and on about it. But the bottom line is, she was not afforded her due process rights when she was found to be in direct contempt of court.
But nonetheless, it is a fair statement to say that you believe in, that there should be a discipline in the courtroom.
Oh, absolutely. The judges, that is part of a judge's duty, is to maintain discipline in the courtroom. And that sometimes that may be difficult to do, but it starts from behind the bench. The judge is the one that must display the appropriate behavior.
Okay. And we've got roughly 2.5 minutes, and I know you said you wanted to thank your committee, but before we do that, is any other points on what we've been talking about that we need to talk about this morning?
Charlie, just a couple things really quick. That one case that we've talked about, mm-hmm. Is not the only case. I have cases and cases and cases, dozens of cases, that just kind of a basic review of ODCR shows that people are being put in jail and being held with no bond for basically minor infractions. There's a case where a young woman or a woman was put in jail for having sunflower seeds. I think many people have heard about that one, and held on a $50,000 bond for simply having sunflower seeds in the courtroom. Again, that case was, she was found in contempt in chambers and not actually in the courtroom. And quite frankly, that I don't believe that due process rights were followed in that case as well. One thing I want to hit really quick, and then I'm going to move on and say thank you to my committee, but the Code of Judicial Conduct has one particular rule that stands out to me that is being violated in our courtroom today, and that's Rule 2.8b. It says, a judge shall, and that's important, shall be patient, dignified, and courteous to litigants, jurors, witnesses, lawyers, court staff, court officials, and others with whom the judge deals in an official capacity. It's a must.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you to my committee. They've done a fabulous job. My committee, Carol Green, Bud Sexton, Jan Dryling, Dennis Cubbage, Marie Cubbage, Lauren Roselle, Rod Ramsey, Richard Mitchell, Lisa Carey and John Carey, Charlie Shipman, Bo Estes, and Suzanne Cyrus. I could not do this without you. Many, many thanks.
Candidate Forum tomorrow night with League of Women Voters, downtown Bartlesville City Council Chambers. Attend if you can. We'll have the broadcast on the air if you can't. And then Thursday in Nowata at the, correct me if I'm wrong, Public Library. Is that correct?
Yes.
7 o'clock?
Yes, and sponsored by the Chamber.
Linda Thomas, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
It is the primary coming up roughly 2 weeks from today. It is important that you vote, not too late to request an absentee ballot. News on the way next from the ONN.
ONN News, I'm Sean Carey. The OSBI.